Good afternoon.
For being with us each and every day, dear Lord, and you're all that we need, and we're so blessed. We're blessed to live in this great country, to have each other, to have you, and we thank you so much for that, dear Lord. Please help the words spoken tonight to be your words, dear Lord, and be with all the listening ears that want to hear, and be with all of us through the week as we try to prepare to do what you want us to do, dear Lord, and help us to be lights to the world and not to change just because we left this building, but to remain the same all the time and do what it is you'd want us to do. Thank you, dear Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So for anybody who's ever been a teacher before or given a lesson in front of the congregation, you know that sometimes you got to get really prepared before you give your lesson. And it can be a little tricky at times. You know that sometimes there's stumbling blocks or there's writer's block. Well, this morning I was talking to Brent Clements over here, and I told him that tonight the lesson was going to be about prayer more than anything else. And I know that in the pamphlet it said that it's living like Christ, but it was going to be about prayer. And it was because I didn't prepare at all. I'm going to pray that everything goes well, and we'll see what happens. He responded back with something about preparing bricks before you build a house or something. So yeah, I got a couple pages here. So after the last lesson that I did here at the congregation, Kenny Looper came up to me and he said, "There's so many times during your lesson that I just wanted to shout amen, but I didn't." And I was thinking that, you know, I hear sometimes Ben or Bruce or a couple others that'll say amen. Most of the time it's quietly, sometimes a little bit louder, depending. And I really like that whenever there's involvement there, whenever someone's talking and you hear an amen. You know, you got that in you. I think that you need to let that out. And if you're holding it down and you're holding it in, I don't think that's a good thing. So for anybody who wants to have done that and hasn't, or if you don't really know if you want to or not, why don't you just give this a shot? I'm going to say a couple things, and everybody say amen afterwards, okay? This is just to get help out with our worship and everything a little bit better, okay? If you disagree or you don't want to, that's fine. You don't have to say anything, but all right, the first thing, Jesus Christ is our Savior.
Amen.
He died on the cross for our sins. He loves everyone.
Amen.
He will always forgive us.
Amen.
He wants us to be with him forever.
Amen.
We'll work on it, but it sounded all right. It was okay. No, really, though, if you want to say amen, please. I don't want anybody to come up to me afterwards and say, "I really wanted to say amen, but I didn't." And if anybody here doesn't like to hear that, then you know what? Just sorry. I don't know what else to say. So tonight's lesson really is about living like Christ. It's something that I've always, growing up, I grew up in the church here, and it's something that I've been taught. It's something that's kind of, what do you do as a Christian? What are you supposed to do as a Christian? Well, you're supposed to try to live like Christ. Try to live like Christ. He's perfect. We're not perfect. So, Jim, not perfect. Sorry. There's things though about living like Christ that it's hard to do if you don't know him. Okay? It's much like whenever I've played water polo for 6 years. I'm done. I'm retired now. But whenever I was playing water polo this last season, for example, here at Ventura College, I practiced Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings at 5:30 for an hour and a half. In the afternoon, at least 2 hours every afternoon, Monday through Friday, on top of the morning workouts and Saturdays. We only did that for a couple months, 2 or 3 months, but I got a way better water polo player, okay? And the same thing goes whenever we're trying to be like Christ, okay? Number one, we need to familiarize ourselves with him. And I know a lot of people like me grew up in the church and have been going to church their whole lives. Not everybody. And I think that you can always learn more about Christ and about our Lord. Thank you. And I think that there's a couple things that we need to do to get better at that, learning about him, okay? Also, these same things I think also will help us to act more like Christ every day and to become better Christians. I think they go hand in hand. And the two big things that I can think of are, one, reading the Bible, because how else are we going to learn who Jesus is and what he has to say? It's all here in the Bible. If you don't read it, if it doesn't come from the Bible, then it came from some man or woman, and it doesn't really mean a whole lot because it's not the Word of God. That's the way I look at it. So the two things that we can really help to familiarize ourselves is read the Bible and to pray, because we're talking with God whenever we pray. We're not hearing English back. He's not actually saying words. It's not like, you can't Skype Jesus, unfortunately. It'd be cool. You can't text him. You can't call him on the phone. You just have to pray. That's the only way that we can really do that. So I think that those two things that we need to really spend a lot more time doing. Thank you. A couple things about Christ that I've read, because I think that whenever we read the Bible, I think reading the gospel more than anything, I think, is so important. And the whole New Testament and the Old Testament, there's lots of really good things to learn in there, and it all should be read. But I think that more than anything, I really like to spend time reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Jesus' life. We can learn so much from that. And we can read, and we do look a lot into other books. We look a lot into the New Testament about Paul and what he said and what he did, which is great, but he's not Jesus. And that's not to say what he says is bad. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that I think that above all else, I really like to read the gospel and read about Jesus himself and what he did and what he said and where he went. A couple things that I was reading about Jesus. Well, let me just read John 13:13-17. This is whenever Jesus was washing his disciples' feet. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do as just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So we have Jesus here, the Son of God, who is our master, and we look up and we say he gives us everything. And here he goes, he washes his disciples' feet. Now, that's like, you know, if you ever walk around the dirt, that's pretty nasty. Your feet can get pretty nasty. And washing feet is like, it's something that no one's going to be getting in line like, oh, time to wash feet, like sign me up kind of a thing. And like, we can equate this to a number of different things today. But the point is that Jesus made himself a servant. The Lord and Master, the one that's above all of us, is washing his disciples' feet. What does that mean for us? We need to be servants to each other and to everyone that we can. That's like one of the big things that whenever I read about Jesus' life and I think about what am I supposed to do as a Christian? Big, big thing to remember is Jesus was a servant to everyone. And what does that mean for us? That means like at the very least we should be servants. You know, because that's what he's our master. We're not above him. We're going to, like, have other people, like, come and wash us because we're greater than anyone else. You know, it's just really important, I think, to remember that Jesus Christ, who he was a servant. He served others. And what does that mean for us? I think that You know, another thing that Jesus talked a lot about was love. If you read Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." So those were like the, you know, you hear the greatest commandment. That's a lot of love. That's a lot of love in there. It says basically love. And what I think about love is it's a lot like what I just talked about, which is being a servant. Love, I think, to me, is selflessness. That's a big part about love. Selfish love, I think, is something that just won't last. It's not true love. Yeah, like, it's, and I think that that's a problem. You know, we see a lot of, you hear a lot these days about, you know, do things for you. And that's great. You want, you know, I want my life to have a great life. I want to have lots of fun. I want to do things for me. But what we need to remember is that that's not really what our, we shouldn't be focused on ourselves. We need to be focused on others. Just like I said before, we need to be servants like Christ. So in loving others, we need to be selfless, okay? Now, whenever I think about Jesus and who he was, I think about him. He came and he was God's son. He is God in the flesh. And much like how we are God's children, he was also a child. He's also one with the Lord. It's kind of crazy. Don't think too hard about it. But just like we want, whenever we raise children. I've never been a father, but I've been a child. Whenever you're a child, you are raised, you know, you're raised in a way that, you know, the father wants you to do something, he guides you. He teaches you exactly what it is that you need to do. And similarly, that's how we need to look to God. And Jesus, what he did, he was also God's son, and he came down here, and he showed us that we need to be obedient, much like whenever we raise children, we expect them to be obedient. The same way Jesus was obedient to God. It's another example of something that we need to be. We need to be obedient to what the Lord commands us to do. So we have that Jesus was selfless. He was an example for us. And he was a servant. Okay? He was also a son, and he was obedient. So we need to do all those things. And I can't, like, I don't want to the whole point of me going through these scriptures is this is what I found from reading the Bible. And these are some major things that I that stick out to me whenever I think about Jesus. And that's what I want to tack on to talk about a little bit. And there's a lot more stuff, but these are some of the big things that I've read. So when I think about that, when I think about Jesus and how he obeyed and how he was the son and how we need to be and how we are God's children and how we should act. I think about whenever you have a child that has done something wrong, or if you are a child and you've done something wrong, you can expect probably a little bit of punishment. Now, I've not really experienced right now whenever I go out and I'm at work and I say a swear word, I don't feel God doesn't, like, come up behind me and spank me. And that's something that's kind of a bummer. Kind of a weird thing to think about. But it's something that whenever you're a child, you learn, don't do this, don't do that, because you're going to get spanked. Well, I mean, before, now you can't really do that. You get arrested. But, you know, you get a... you punish your child in some way to teach them. And that's actually a good thing. As a child, you don't want to get spanked. You don't want to be punished. But it ends up that it's good for you in the end. And it's something that we don't really have that. We don't have God to come here and spank us or put us in the corner. And this is like a little bit of a side note, but I think that being that we are children and we are all children of the Father and he isn't here to spank us, we need to have some accountability with each other. And that doesn't mean, and we're none, I don't think that anybody is higher than somebody else. I think we're all the same. But I still think that we can keep ourselves accountable and we can help each other. And that's something that maybe doesn't happen enough. Maybe it does in your own personal life, but I don't know if it necessarily, if I do a good enough job of it. And I think that maybe there are some of you that feel the same way. It doesn't mean that we need to be mean or rude or punish anybody else, but we need to help each other because we don't have that person there. And if I see somebody that does something that I go, I don't know about that. Like, I'm good friends with you. I've been friends with you a long time, and I think that that's probably not a good thing to be doing. I should say something in that situation, okay? And I think that we should all do that. I think that that's something we need to do. It's a little bit of a side note, not really talking about how Christ lived right now, but I felt like that was something that needed to be said on this topic about children. Let's see. Another thing, too, is that it goes right along with being a servant is being last, you know? Nobody likes to be last, really. I mean, I'm a very competitive person. I really am. I love sports, but I love to win. And just ask any of the guys that I play Frisbee with on Saturday. I like to win. And I don't think it's saying that I'm not supposed to, the Bible isn't saying that I'm not supposed to win on Frisbee, at least I hope not. I think that it's something that we need to familiarize ourselves with, again, and something in the Bible that we read about, that we learn about Christ as we read the gospel and we learn about how he lived his life. He talks about how the first shall be last shall be first. So there's Matthew 19:28-30. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you have followed me. You who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Another perfect example of opening up your Bible and reading some passages, you can learn things about Christ that, or maybe relearn things that you've already learned in the past. Keeping that fresh in your mind. It's that daily practice, like practicing water polo and me striving to become the best water polo player I can be. That's how we need to focus on Christianity and being God's children. And the being the last, you know, it's not something that it's fun to be. If I get slapped in the face over here at the grocery store, my first inclination, I want to punch them in the face. I don't want to turn my other cheek. But if I read the Bible, and I've read that today, or I read that yesterday, I know whenever I get in that situation what it is I need to do. And that is be like Christ and follow his teachings. That's a lot of what I think goes with the scripture and things that I've pulled out of the scripture that I just wanted to touch on tonight. But I think that we need to go and spend time daily reading our Bibles. And I know there's a lot of you out there who do that, who read every day, who spend time in the Word daily. But I don't. But I should. I need to. And there's no excuse. I don't think that I can sit here and say, I don't have time to read one chapter a day. 2 chapters, however many it is. I know there's long days, and people have long days. How long does it take to read 1 chapter out of the gospel? I think that it could be really important for every single one of us. And none of anybody sitting here can tell me that they don't have time to read 1 chapter a day. And I think that these small things, seemingly small things, can actually make huge difference in all of our lives. And that's, like I said, it's learning about Christ and learning about how we should be and spending time becoming good water polo players. But no, not that. The other thing that I talked about a little bit earlier is prayer. I think that, like I said, you think about it, and whenever I am praying, that's me talking to the Lord, okay? That seems like pretty obvious. How do I get to learn who God is? Well, I talk to him. Okay, that makes sense. But I think it's more than that too. If you look at Christ's example and how he lived his life, he prayed a lot. He spent a lot of time in prayer. Now, he is God in man. He's like God down here. I don't know if he really needed to do that or not, but he did a lot. And perhaps it was just for us. He prayed to show us, this is what you need to do. That could have been the only reason. I don't know. But the point is that he prayed a lot. And I think that that's something that will improve our lives with Christ and help us become better Christians and be who we want to be as Christians. I think that, you know, this is something that whenever I was growing up, we prayed before every meal and before bed at night. And I think that I talked to Clarissa about this a little while ago. I stopped doing that. It's something that I want to start doing again. In preparation for this sermon, it's something that I was thinking about. It's something that you spend that time, it's easy to forget things, especially me. I'm a very forgetful person. I only remember about half your names, and I spent my whole life with you. I think that, it's doing it, praying before every meal. That's, okay, I'm about to eat. Boom, I'm thinking about, it's time to pray. And that could only be a short little prayer. Maybe it's just something really short. Maybe I'm just, whatever. But at least I'm spending that time that I wasn't spending before with him. And before bed every night, I think it's a perfect time to pray. And I think that maybe even better that I didn't do growing up, but maybe I should start doing, is praying whenever I wake up in the morning. That sets out a great pace for the day. I wake up late a lot, so maybe it'll be a fast one, but at least it's a prayer. I think, like, too, if you can get in your, you want to wake up, you say a prayer, you read a chapter, how much better would all of our lives be if we just did that? I just don't think there's an excuse anymore for not having time to do these things. And the difference that it makes in our life and what we're supposed to do whenever it comes to living like Christ, which is what we're supposed to do. His life here, he came, one of the reasons he came was to be an example for us. And we should know how to live our lives by looking at his life and saying, how did Jesus live his life? And the only way that we're going to know is if we spend time in the Word and we read about Jesus' life and what he did and we spend time talking with him every day. And I think if you're anything like me, it's like Sundays and then it's like, all right, see you next Sunday. I don't do any praying outside of Sunday. And that's like this the truth. Like I know it's like, oh, that's funny, but no, like seriously, a lot of times I don't pray in the week, just Sundays. Like that's like not how it should be. You know, and if anybody else can say that, I'm sure there are people who can say that. And it's whenever I say it up here, I feel like, oh man, I am doing a terrible job. I only pray on Sundays. It's like, oh, a lot of people are like that though, you know? And it's something that's easy to fall into. You don't think about it. But I think we all should be thinking about it, and it will help us. That's about all I have, but I don't know what song is going to be up or whatever, but if you need to come forward, we're going to lead a song. Jim is going to lead the song, and come forward and you'll be helped.